and this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, episode 50. I'd like to thank our great sponsors. We had a new one come on board. It would be Pizza Hut in Saskatoon and the Concord Group. So thanks to David Dubé for coming on board. We appreciate that. Also want to thank our friend Paul Waldo over there at Royal LePage, the home expert team. Give him a call, 306-502-5355. We'll talk to him in a second. And the gang over at Wheel Estate, if you have a travel trailer you want to rent or rent out, and you're already preparing for next camping season, check them out online at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals backed by a $1 million insurance policy. Let's get to the phones here and say hi to our friend Paul Waldo from Royal LePage, three-time Grey Cup champion. We'll start with U of S Husky stuff because he is the defensive backs coach for the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. That was a hard-fought victory over the University of Regina Rams last week, Paul. And I'll tell you what, your secondary comes up big with three INTs, two of them in the end zone.
Yeah, no, those were really big plays, I think, in the You look back at it, and you kind of sit there and think, you know, if we hadn't come up with those big plays, you know, don't know what way the game would have went. But with that being said, I mean, when you let them down all the way down the field like that, you got to bail yourself out sometimes. You know, you got to find a way to stand tall. And and like I said, we were able to fortunately come out with the victory.
You know, I'm taking nothing away from the Huskies because it was a 33-20 victory, and you guys were up 30-3. I just think I will say this: I think Noah Pickton had an uncharacteristically his game was uncharacteristically off, and I don't know. You know, I think a lot of it had to do with the Rams losing that game too, like in terms of the interceptions and when it happened. And but kudos to you. There's two teams on the field, and you got to make the plays when they're there. And your defense did that. Your secondary did that. So as a secondary coach, how happy are you to see these guys developing like this?
You know what? It's coming along once again. It's a process, right? You know, and I mean, I think it essentially started from last year. We took a lot of lumps, a lot of growing pains, and we're still slowly, you know, figuring it out. We're nowhere close where we want to be, but once again, I think we're on the right path. We're making strides, especially now that you have a full year under your belt. And we were so young last year. We're still the youngest team in the league. So it's kind of one of those things where you slowly start to build confidence. And you know, Noah Pickton, I mean, He didn't win the head crack. He wasn't the best player in the country by accident. You know, I mean, he is that good, and he is a difference maker, and he's a guy that literally can change the game within just a play or a drive, as you alluded to. I mean, you know, they came back and the game was close. So, you know, obviously the plan was to try to make sure that we can disrupt them, and you just got to give so much credit to our guys up front. I mean, you know, we essentially rushed three the whole game, and those guys were able to get after him and make him feel uncomfortable. So, I mean, it's more that than it was defensive backs making plays at that, yeah. I think, my opinion.
Yeah, your D-line played great, had four quarterback sacks in total. But let's talk a bit about, you know, you guys have gone young, especially at the skilled positions, you know, receivers, defensive backs, running backs. So just from a defensive back standpoint, when do you expect a guy to really get it? I know it's different for different guys, and you can't really pigeonhole anybody, but when would you think a guy should realistically be expected to get it?
You know, I would probably say, it's when you say that, you know, it's almost a loaded question because some guys never will. And you know, you might get a guy, and obviously I'm going to refer to a kid that I coach closely and directly, is like a Nelson McCombo. He just gets it. I mean, physically he gets it, mentally. I mean, he's just so fundamentally sound and he's so athletic. But I would, you know, from a time standpoint, I would probably say that third year, Once you've been here for 3 years, I think your first year, once again, you're bright-eyed. You know, you're a child, literally, just a kid. And there's a lot of different things that you're getting acclimated and getting used to. I mean, everything from the academic standpoint to, once again, actually getting on a legit strength and conditioning program, right? Your body, getting used to the speed. So you know, after the first year, it's kind of like it's an aha moment where you realize what you got to do. You go into that second year, and you've had a great off-season in you. The expectations are there. You go in, and then once again, you still need that experience. And so I think by year three, after you've been in the system, you know, whether it's a schematic standpoint and what you're looking at from schemes and a defensive concept standpoint to just getting the experience and maturing physically as a football player. And I think year three is when it's go time.
Nothing replaces being a player on the field. Nothing replaces, you know, winning a Grey Cup championship. But this has got to be pretty close to you being a coach. And a week like this, when you sit down in that coach's office and you're playing the juggernaut Calgary Dinos and you are banged up all over the board, you got to be saying to yourself, how the heck are we going to pull this sucker off?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's a true statement. I think in the true conversation, I think you have, you know, within yourself and then obviously collectively as a staff. But you got to remember that everybody's banged up. And that's just that to me, I think, you know, using the word of being healthy or unhealthy, I mean, you're never going to be healthy. If you're playing football, you're not healthy, period. You're never going to be 100%. Once again, as players individually and collectively as a team. So that's a part of being a championship team is having the depth, right, and doing the things that you do in the off season to make sure that you can grind it out. And once again, it's got to be a plug-and-play situation. You know, got to have guys that can come in and step in and not have that much of a drop-off. So it's going to be a challenge this week. It really is. But like you said, it's a part of it.
How amped up are you, though, to be in a coach's office trying to game plan, trying to do that? I imagine that guys like you and Flory, Muzyka, you guys got to be – your juice has got to be flowing here.
Oh, you said it. It's a perfect statement. Their juice is flowing. I mean, it's exciting. It gives – you know, I mean, I can obviously speak for myself, but for the guys collectively, it's like you're preparing to play again, you know, and for guys like us that have played at such a high level, that type of excitement where I think we're fortunate enough, you know, after our careers to still be able to have that type of energy and passion and still be able to put it towards playing this game of football. So it's just exciting, but except less stressful because I don't got to play.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, I'll tell you what, that was a huge win against the Rams because you only have one home game left and you got two beauties on the road, Calgary and UBC. That's like murderer's row there.
Death row, eh? It's literally murderer's row. And like I said, once again, if you want to, you know, if you want to win the division though, and if you want to get out of the division, obviously, which is the ultimate goal, you got to win. You got to be able to win on the road. So, you know, we've done a decent job of having a decent record, obviously at home, and now it's just a matter of going out there and continuing, I guess, to elevate, you know, continuing to get better fundamentally and finding ways to beat, like I said, the juggernaut Calgary Dinos. And you know, the good thing about I think this league, you know, the tough part, the good thing is that every team is good. You know, the Toronto Rams, they're a great team. Calgary Dinos are a great team. UBC starting to put it on. I mean, Manitoba is always athletic and, you know, tend to be a little inconsistent sometimes, but they're a juggernaut as well. Every team in the conference is good, so you can't you got to bring your A-game.
All right, let's wrap up by talking a little bit about CFL football, and the Riders go out to Montreal here. They escaped with a victory, but they did escape with a victory, courtesy of Brett Lowther again, and they're going to Montreal where they've won one of the last six games out in Montreal, which is unbelievable. They should win this game, but what makes that trip to Montreal so dangerous?
You know, well, there's a couple of things. I'd like to be quite frank with you.
Yep. Go ahead.
The Catherine Strip there is probably one of them, to be quite frank with you. You know, people, you're usually not tucked away in your hotel room, you know, watching TV a lot of times. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to do. And I think that, to be honest with you, is one of them. I know when I was playing in Montreal, we always felt that, especially any of the teams that were coming for our OS, we were up 21-0 before the game started because, you know, they were probably out in the strip having a good time the night before. So I think there's those type of distractions. The travel time is one thing, obviously, a two-hour time difference. And I'll tell you, when I was with Saskatchewan, I don't think we beat Montreal once, you know, in the 4 years that I was there. And I think it's due to some of those reasons.
Yeah, it just throws everything out of whack when you're playing at 11 in the morning, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and I, you know, I mean, looking back at last week, I think they were, you know, it was a night game, so I think they were better prepared. That team has done a pretty good job of playing in Toronto. Obviously, they won last year twice or once, and we're close to winning in the postseason there. But it's a challenge. It's a grind to go out there and play. And you know, you don't want to use the phrase trap game, but heck. You know, it could very well be one.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, they've set themselves up nice to have that Thanksgiving Day game here against Edmonton before second place.
That's going to be, I think, obviously, if we expect the things to go the way they're going to go this week, and then that, to me, is pivotal. I mean, it's a playoff game, you know, so it's exciting. And coming down the stretch, even when you look across the rest of the league, BC's starting to turn up a little bit, too. So it's going to be a fight to the finish, guys, and I'm looking forward to it.
Too early to judge Johnny Manziel, or have you seen enough to know whether he'll make it or not as a quarterback in this league?
You know, that's a great question, Ballsy. And I think after this weekend, I think I'll really I'll be able to have my formulated opinion. You know, I don't think he's started a consecutive amount of games to really get into a rhythm. And, I mean, once again, he's playing the top-ranked defense. you know, not only in the league, but in my opinion, the Saskatchewan Fire defense is the best I've ever seen from an opportunistic standpoint. They're just so productive and they're able to score, and they're deadly. They really are deadly. So it's a stiff test for them, and we're going to see how good old Johnny Football makes out.
Geez, that's a bold statement about the Riders defense, but definitely can't argue with you on that one. Yeah. You know, and here's Kavis Reid. Kavis Reid trades half when he makes the trade for Johnny Manziel, he trades half a team and two first-round picks. And at that time, he says, well, first-round picks in the CFL aren't worth much. Like, they're really overvalued. But then he trades Terrell Sutton to the BC Lions this week and gets back a second-round pick. Plus, he gives up a third-round pick, and he's tapping himself on the back saying he did a good job at the trade.
And it was interesting because I read the comment about him saying, well, you know, we paid 80% of his salary, so it was the salary thing. So I said, you can't even say it was a salary. I don't know, Mike. I don't know whether you're to blame the people that hired him or if it's just him making the mistakes that I think people expect him to make, because he's just not the right guy for that position,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, and Johnny Manziel wasn't available to Regina Media on a conference call yesterday. It was declined. Huh. The requests were declined. Isn't he in the league to promote the league? Like it's like you have kids that know better and they should be cleaning their room and you give them a long enough leash, but pretty soon you got to step in and make them clean their room. Okay. Don't you think Randy Ambrosi eventually has to step in somewhere and say, hey, we got to get this figured out in Toronto, Montreal, and BC. Like, let's get going here, boys.
Absolutely, and that's one thing right there. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you can say what you want about the media, but they're there to promote the league and they're there to promote the game, and especially for a guy like him who has had, I would say a second chance at the game, who I felt was pretty good with the media earlier on in the year. So I'm not sure if the Balls would be able to fill us in a little bit more, but if that was a team that, you know, denied us able to interview him, or if it was a personal choice. That's terrible.
Either way, that's part of your job. I don't care if it's personal.
Yeah, right.
You got to stand up.
Right,
and, you know, you're playing in this league, and for a guy that gets third, fourth, fifth chances, you'd think he can go on his podcast and talk.
Chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
He'd be chomping at the bit to negate or deflect any type of bad, attention that he's had. Because from what I'm hearing, he's relatively a pretty decent dude. So, yeah, you would think he'd be chomping at the bit to do as many interviews as he can.
So, Paul, where can they get a hold of you over at Royal LePage?
Yeah, we're I'm paul@holmesregina.ca, just the way it sounds. You can email me, or you can go to the Home Expert team, our social media, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook sites, and like I said, I look forward to helping anybody wants to buy or sell a house.
Thanks for this, Paul. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Ballsy. When's Ethan playing?
Ethan's got this weekend against Riffle, and yeah, it's going to be fun. I love the Battle of Rochdale. We got Campbell and Lebolus this weekend, and we got Miller and O'Neill. Really competitive in both 4A and 3A in Regina. I think it's a testament to what you guys are seeing at the next level when these kids come to play for the Huskies and the Rams and such.
Absolutely. It's more so nowadays why kids, I think, are collegially ready to play immediately. I know even from a recruiting standpoint, we're really starting to push on trying to navigate and take players at a young age and groom them. And I mean, once again, that's a testament to the Regina Minor Football League and the Saskatoon Minor Football League and just the minor leagues in general. And they're really doing a great job of once again establishing some sort of parity. And that's from the coaching that they're doing. So it's great. It's exciting. And we'll let the young stars keep doing what they're doing. And hopefully we'll get a chance to get our hands on them.
Hey, it's Growing the Game podcast. That's what we'd like to see. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ballsy. We'll chat soon. See ya.
All right, we're here with Jeff Yowsey on Growing the Game, episode number 50. And Jeff, of course, longtime coach with the Saskatoon Hilltops, executive director of Football Saskatchewan. So let's start there, Jeff. What are your thoughts on the state of football in this province? Because this podcast is all about growing this great game in Saskatchewan. Are you liking where things are headed?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, we're pretty lucky to be a part of football in Saskatchewan. People are passionate. People love the game, starting with the Rough Riders and going on down, you know, through our elite tackle football, high school football, and minor tackle, you know, organizations like RMF and Saskatoon Minor Football and Kinsman Tackle Football across the province. And it's growing into a lot of the rural areas, including, you know, the most recent developments, which are Lots of girls playing flag football and tackle football. I think football's got a special place in this province.
That's exciting with the girls aspect. I've covered it a lot on this podcast. I really like where that's going. That's an opportunity to grow the game there.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of been top-down growth. Literally, we had zero. We had a few girls playing tackle football, and a few girls playing co-ed flag football, touch football. But it kind of started with the Valkyries and the Riot in 2011, and what we've seen is top-down growth, where they've been great leaders and great coaches and motivators, and showing that there's an opportunity for girls and women in football, and to the point now where we're seeing a lot more girls playing minor tackle football and flag football, and we have strong leagues of girls, with I think over 100 teams playing high school flag football, and this year with the South Sask female football league for girls in high school.
Where do you think we can get better in the sport of football in this province? Executive Director Jeff Yowsey, Defensive Coordinator of the Hilltops. Where can we get better?
I think the strength of our football has been because we're spread around the province. It's just not Saskatoon and Regina based. We have 6, 9, and 12 aside football spread around the province. So that's really good. It caused the problem in that, boy, you got to travel lots. Teams have to travel a lot, and we have to provide, coach education, officials, development camps, and things like that around the whole province. I see the game's changing. Do you know what I mean? Watch NFL, and we see their rule changes. Concussions are certainly an issue. So we're changing how we practice. We're changing concussion protocol and how we manage issues like that in practice and in games. And I think that's we have to be proactive. And for people like us that have been in it, played it and coached and been around it for a long time, we know how passionate football is, how it's a different game as far as control and coaching, and it's very directed, and we have to be leaders in changing the game.
Those are all great comments. From my standpoint as a media guy who's just firing up this podcast into episode 50, and I've kind of reached out to some people, and I have to do a better job too, because I think football in Saskatchewan and supporting our own kids has been negated for so long that people don't even know where to start, where to reach out. But I think we need both as a Saskatchewan organization base in football and as a media base, we need to work more together to promote our kids and to get out the fact that, hey, there are lots of good athletes playing football in this province. And when you think about it, Jeff, in a limited season too, we're not like Texas or Alabama where you can play year-round.
Yeah. You know what? It's actually, I think, one of a big benefit to us in that we do have a short season. I think football is not a sport that you should be playing 6, 9, 12 months a year. We believe in long-term athlete development model in football, where we believe that athletes can cross over, play multiple sports. It's actually really good for them to do other things. It's good to have 3 months rest in an off season. And we also know that in football, we've been benefactors of the fact that we're a late maturing sport. We don't funnel down. We don't pick our best players when they're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Their players are allowed to play other sports, lost crossover from hockey and wrestling and basketball, and become really talented football players as they get older, kind of in high school and after high school.
Interesting. Okay, one other area that maybe we have a chance to grow, we talked about growing the game with the girls. How about the one thing that we've seen over the last however many years, 5, 10 years, a lot of immigrants coming to our country that are on, into soccer, into cricket, into other sports that they're used to in their countries. They're coming here. They maybe don't know what football is. Is that an avenue where you guys can maybe look to grow the game too?
Yeah, absolutely. We've certainly been having discussions and we've done a few introductory camps. I think we have to roll out the football 101, the learn to play football and introduction to football. And, of course, with the basics, like our pass, punt, and kick competition that we run, that is just a real – they're not our members. They don't help grow the game. But it's just a real, let's learn how to pass, punt, and kick. And that quick little introduction to the game, and we know our pass, punt, and kick is running right now. And we're going to introduce the throwing and kicking game to, 5,000 to 7,000 kids around the province.
Yeah, excellent. Jeff Yowsey joining us here, the Executive Director of Football Saskatchewan and Defensive Coordinator for the Saskatoon Hilltops. So let's flip the page and talk about that. Your team going for their fifth straight championship. Man, it's rolling. How do you keep these guys motivated and into it? I know football, junior football, cyclical, guys in, guys out, but to be winners year after year, How challenging is that?
It's hard work for sure. I think Coach Sargent believes in stressing our guys out and pushing our guys in practice. So we have very competitive practice. We push our guys hard, and we coach them hard. I think consistency in our coaches has certainly helped coaching staff over the years, and then consistency along with our players, where our players learn from leaders, and you know they're around 5 years for the most case, not all of them, but boy, once you get to know a kid in their third, fourth year, you know what you're going to get from them, and so that certainly helped us.
Describe your coaching style for me. How do you like to run your defense for people that haven't watched the Hilltops?
Yeah, you know what? I think we do a little bit of everything. We're not fooling anyone when we say that I love zone defense. So I believe the best defense you can have out there is a defense with eyes, and I believe in great pursuit as well. So I think if you have eyes, you can all pursue to the ball. The ball is the most important thing in football. So the more guys we can get to the ball, the better chance we're going to have on defense.
You know, that's interesting because I've often said this. I was a Regina Ram. I'm the Rams broadcaster now. I was in junior football. I've watched some of the Thunder games against you. And I was commenting on offense in particular, but I'm glad you brought that up on defense. I said, it looks like the Hilltops run the same eight plays. And they've done that for years, but they do it so well. It's almost like, okay, we're gonna run an off tackle here. You try to stop us. We're gonna run a zone defense here. You know what we're doing. You try to beat us. That's kind of your mentality, because you really, is that your mentality? You guys just coach them up the best you can, and we should be able to execute the play no matter what.
Yeah, there's always little wrinkles that you throw in too, of course, but yeah, you know, I mean, I think you got to stand for something, so and you got to believe in what you're doing. So I think. So, like I said, we coach it hard. I think we know what to expect for players. I also don't believe in a lot of stunting and that, because if I know where, you know, in our 4-3 defense, if I know where they're running the ball, I know who's supposed to be in that gap or there, it's an easy thing to fix on the sidelines. When you're stunting and blitzing and whatever else, sometimes you can blitz and stunt your way into plays, and sometimes you can stunt yourself out of plays and allow the offense to make plays. So.
And I guess you're, by doing that, keeping it simple. When a guy lines up, he knows what he's doing, and he can maximize his athletic ability because he's not thinking, right?
Yeah, and you can hold, and you know, he's accountable for what happens. If he gets his butt beat, well, then he knows it, and I know it, and we all know it. We'll do something else.
Okay, so your life is football, basically. I mean, I know you got a life outside of football, but you work in the football field, and you go coach at night. What do you like best about football?
To me, it's, I think... it's such a diverse game. You can include so many different people as far as kinds of people. You need small, fast athletes. You need big, tough athletes. You need, do you know what I mean? Foot leverage is a beautiful thing in football. So I got short, strong guys. They can be good in spots in the field. And, of course, everyone wants long, lanky receivers, and quarterbacks can throw the ball 50 yards. So it's such a big group of people. And I like the fact that, of course, in Saskatchewan, people are so passionate about it, so it's a great place to administer and to coach football. And I just like how the fact that it's such a controlled game. Do you know what I mean? We play with discipline. You know, we don't allow fights in the field. It's very coach controlled. The coaches have a huge say in what's going on, and you know, you run your play for 3 to 7 seconds, and then you get back and you regroup, and that really doesn't matter what you did in the last play. It's about the next play.
Yeah. So I marvel from the outside in. Four champion. I won a championship. If I would have stuck around one more year with the Rams, I could have won a second, but went to school instead. But four championships in a row, going into your fifth championship. So just to wrap up here, Jeff Fialzi, D coordinator of the Saskatoon Hilltops, in your opinion, what does it mean to be a Saskatoon Hilltop? Give us, you know, you always see the different colleges like Alabama and Notre Dame, whatever. They have their little slogan. What would you say, you know, Cole's Notes version, what does it mean to be a Saskatoon Hilltop?
You know, I think it's pride. I think it's belief in what we're doing. I think it's the history of the Hilltops. I think our players buy into that. And we get, you know, great, incredible leadership from Coach Sargent. And it's accountability. You know what I mean? I think Coach Sargent will be just as hard on us as his coaches as he is in the players if he doesn't like what he sees or he doesn't like how we're doing on the field. And like I said, you know, it's just not game day. It's practice every night of the week. So yeah. So I think accountability, pride, and loyalty, I think those are three pretty good attributes.
You and Sarge have been together a long time. Do you guys butt heads like an old married couple sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. Like, we coaches, we go, he pushes me hard, and we go at it once in a while. And the good part is we're such good friends off the field. You know, we let it go and give each other a hug, you know, an hour or two after it happens, and then we get ready to go the next day.
Winning cures a lot of things. Winning smooths over arguments, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Winning helps, yes.
Jeff, thanks for this. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Baldy.
And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, episode number 50, brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatoon. And the Concord Group over there, thanks to them for getting on board. Also to Wheel Estate, check them out at wheelestate.ca. And Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home expert team over there, give him a call, 306-502-5355. I'm joined on the phone line by Holy Cross Crusaders linebacker Ramsey Derbis. Now, Ramsey Derbis was the defensive MVP for the entire Canada Cup tournament held in Calgary this summer, a tournament Saskatchewan won for the first time, I think, in 9 years. Ramsey, what was that experience like?
It was real good. It was a tough one, but like, it's always a grind, but it was just a real good experience, and winning gold was everything we wanted.
Yeah, take me through that gold medal game. This team had been to the semifinals the last couple of years, or pardon me, got to the final, but runner-ups the last couple of years, but finally gets over the hump. Just tell me about that game and what it felt like to finally win the thing.
Yeah, it was tough. Winning silver was just, it was real awful, and so we just really focused on finishing the job this year, and the game was full of ups and downs, but I think we just knew we worked so hard to win gold, so we were just not going to give up.
Yeah, okay, so you were in a zone in that tournament. Just talk about being in the zone. What's it like to, you know, everything, just the ball just seemed to follow you around. You blocked kicks, you made plays to be the defensive MVP. Tell me about, for you personally.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the personal accolades were really great that tournament, but all that doesn't happen if my teammates don't really do their job. So, I mean, it's all a team effort for me to do my job like they did.
Ramsey Derbis joining us here for the Holy Cross Crusaders, linebacker there. We'll talk about your season in a minute. So with the accolades, as you so correctly described there, with the personal accolades, did you get a lot of feedback from coaches, and have some universities been in contact with you?
Yeah, you definitely, it's a frenzy with coaches over there. So after performing like that, definitely had a few coaches come and talk to me. And yeah, so that was good.
Any thoughts on where you might want to play football?
No, I have a couple offers, but I'm just waiting for after the season. Then I'll really sit down and evaluate on where I want to go.
Now, I always like to say this to the kids. I say football is a dream and not a plan, in particular professional football, Ramsey. So what do you want to do? What do you want to do off the football field in terms of schoolwork?
I used to always think I wanted to go into business, but now I'm kind of thinking to maybe study psychology and then maybe go into sports psychology, something like that.
Excellent. Have you used any counselors or sports psychologists helping you focus for the game?
Yeah, I have. I've always wanted an edge, so I have had help from a sports psychologist, and I love that aspect.
So talk to me about that, and so what does that do for you in terms of getting ready for the game? What do you do? What kind of practices do you do without giving away too much? Do you do a lot of mental focusing in terms of like envisioning what you're going to do on a particular play or something like that?
A bit, yeah. Like, obviously, you got to train your mind on how you want to be focused and read the plays, and I think a big part is just always making sure that you're getting better each week and just working, trying to get an edge in any way you can is really what we work on.
This sport can be really insecure, Canada, even at the young level. Like, you can make three great plays and then blow a tackle, and those three great plays don't mean anything because coaches only see the last thing you did, and that last thing you did might cost your team the game. So it can be a roller coaster, can it?
Oh, most definitely. That's why you always got to be locked in for every play, and the most important play is always the next play.
How do you deal with insecurities? Do you have insecurities? Everybody does, I guess, to an extent, but what do you do to kind of de-stress, as it were?
I guess everyone, I feel like throughout the game, you just don't have a lot of time to think about, like, messing up. You just got to focus on your job, and those things just take care of themselves.
Ramsey Derbis, linebacker for the Holy Cross Crusaders. Now, what do you think your best attribute is in terms of your play, either maybe, you know, on the field or off the field? What's your best attribute?
My best attribute would be just be my smarts and then just my work ethic. you know, when you have those two things included, I think it's a good recipe. And so I just work hard, and then I'm always focused, and I'm just trying to get better.
Okay, we haven't. I haven't seen you play personally. I saw you on tape, but I haven't seen you in person. And for people that are just listening to this podcast and haven't seen the great Ramsey Dervis play, tell me about, you know, who do you emulate your game after? Like maybe a professional. Who would you play the football like? I'm not asking you to compare yourself to Ray Lewis, but who do you like to play the game like?
Yeah, I think Luke Kuechly, because he's so smart and he's just always around the ball. And, you know, he's a leader of the defense, and he makes big plays from the middle linebacker spot where, you know, that's tough for a lot of linebackers to do, to make big game-changing plays, and he's just done it consistently.
What's better, pick six or quarterback sack or block punt? Which you like better?
I mean, the pick six, because you're getting points on the board.
What's it like to take down a quarterback to finally get there? It's like getting to the table and eating that steak, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it feels good, definitely, and then just to let them know that you're coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you like the trash talk?
No, not a whole bunch. Maybe the odd time a little bit, but not. I'm not much of a trash talker.
Are you a leader, or are you a vocal leader, or are you a leader by example type of guy?
I'd say both.
Yeah? Well, good.
I'd say both. Yeah.
Good. Okay, and so then lastly, let's talk about your team. Your squad is 3-0 heading into this weekend's action. Who do you got this weekend, and what's the team looking like so far?
We play Walter Murray, and our team's looking good. We have a lot of good talent, a lot of young guys stepping up, and some good older veterans who are leading the team well. So it's looking good so far.
How long have you played high school football? When was your first year?
In grade 10.
Grade 10. So do you remember your first game?
My first game, yes, I do.
What do you remember about that first game?
My first interception, I ran it back for about 30, 40 yards, and that was kind of the beginning.
That's awesome, man. So are you soaking it all in as a grade 12 guy coming off a great summer? You're in your last year there at Holy Cross, and my, how the time flies. Are you kind of really soaking in this grade 12 year?
Yeah, I'm trying my best. I mean, you're so consumed all the time with just getting better and focusing on your opponent, but I've definitely tried to take a step back at times and just, you know, really embrace the moment.
What are you going to miss most about high school football when it's done?
Just the atmosphere, playing in the games with the school cheering you on. It's just amazing.
Ramsey Dervis, good luck this week, and good luck the rest of the season. We'll be watching, and we know you're going to have a great rest of the year.
All right, thanks so much.
Time now for Rider Rewind. And we talked last week, and I said, Marcus Thigpen, that every time you're on the field, you make a play, and you did it again. Walk me through that play.
Well, it's something that we practiced all week. And it was the crazy thing is it actually hit just like that in practice, you know. And I feel like Dan did a great job on his pull. Who else was up there? Josiah did a great job holding his block. And then Thad came from the backside and got a cutoff block. It was almost questionable. I know a lot of people said it might have been a block in the back. But, you know, anytime I see myself one-on-one with a guy, I know I can make him miss and just outrun the rest. And I seen a guy trying to pursue over top number 26 real fast. So I said, I can cut back on him. And, you know, it was just nice to see it open up like that, you know.
Let me ask you something, because you take care of your body. We talked about that last week.
Yes,
but
sir.
You're a 32-year-old guy blowing down the field past people. Do you even say to yourself sometimes, man, how am I still doing this? Do you say that to yourself?
You know what? I do. Yeah, I mean, like, because I train so hard.
Yeah.
I train really, really hard in the off season. Even during the season, during the off days, I train really hard. And to see myself come out here and replicate those same things, I do kind of wow myself sometimes. Like, wow, I still can do this, you know, at full speed at this age, and I feel great. Like, I feel like I'm in my 20s still.
That's awesome, man. And we'll talk about, you know, how you almost got out of football for a second. But I want to go back to one guy who's kind of been much maligned since he was drafted first overall here, Josiah St. John. Doesn't get a lot of street cred. You gave him some cred.
Of course.
Nice to see a guy like that make a big play in a big game.
Yeah, Josiah and I are really good friends off the field as well.
Yeah.
Like, we go out to eat all the time, but just to see him out there and doing great is a testament to his character and the things that he's been through. He's been battling some things too, trying to get on the field, and him to go out there and produce, you know, I definitely give him credit. The whole offensive line, honestly.
No, I'm not looking for anything inflammatory here, but I'm the guy that takes the calls after the game, and I said, you know, Marcus Thigpen is a guy that is a weapon, and just even for a sign of respect to have him on the field all the time. I know you're a team guy. I'm not asking you to get into war words with anybody, but do you sometimes, is it frustrating for you when you make a couple big plays and you're not on the field more than maybe you probably like?
Oh yeah, it's definitely frustrating. You know, I think any player that feel like they can produce as an athlete wants to be on the field. But like I said, like you said, I'm a team guy, and the coaches, they see something that I don't see, you know, and that's why I'm a player and they're a coach. So whatever they ask me to do, I'll make sure I'm ready. And when my number is called, I take advantage of those opportunities. But me personally, I would like to be on the field way more.
Is there something in your game that you'd like to polish up, that you're always looking to get better? Is there something you want to, you know, when you critique yourself, that you want to do better?
My biggest critique has always been blitz protection. So I've always been like a lighter, smaller guy and going against bigger guys. So I feel like I'm doing a really good job at it now, but definitely want to continue improving there and hitting the holes a little bit harder. But those would be like the two main things I feel like I need to work on.
Okay, so there was a point here, I was just reading on Facebook, because we're Facebook friends, where you were gonna pack it in. You'd gone through a divorce and it was a low time in your life. Just tell us about that.
I found out that my wife was, you know, having an affair for, you know, a while, and it kind of messed me up bad, like really bad, you know, just being separate from her and my kids, because we've been together for 15 years, but we was married for 8. So I was at the point where I was like, you know, I just want to just hang it up. Like, my mind wasn't there. I didn't want to train. I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? I was just kind of lost. But, you know, I got to talking to my coaches from high school, talked to some of my good friends, and they were just telling me to whatever it is that I wanted to do, that they was, you know, stay by my side, but they feel like I could still play the game. So, you know, I made a decision after seeing one of KG videos, like I mentioned before, and the passion started coming back, and I'm like, you know what, I still feel like I got a lot left. I haven't sustained any serious injuries. My body's in great shape, so why not give it a try? You know, you only get one life to live, and this is my passion. So, you know, I came out here and seen what I can do. Coaches liked it, and I felt really good where I was at, and, you know, the rest was history.
Do you get to see your kids much? I know football, it's tough because you're away, you know, playing. Do you see your kids much? Has that been a tough thing for you?
That's really, really been tough, because after the divorce, she's been a little spiteful, you know, so it's kind of hard to get phone calls or text messages back. So I don't see them often during the season, but when I go home in the off season, I do get to see them as much as I want.
Well, we're glad you're part of our family, and keep her going, big man.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And before we wrap up Growing the Game with Ballsy, episode 50, got to mention that the Regina Thunder are in action Sunday at Mosaic Stadium, taking on the Edmonton Wildcats. Make sure you get out and support Regina Thunder football as they try to snap a 2-game losing skid. They've dropped a couple in a row, one to the Edmonton Huskies and then last week to the Saskatoon Hilltops. In that game, right before halftime, Alex Smith, the defensive coordinator for the Thunder, was mowed over at the Thunder bench and broke his leg. Actually, he's scheduled to have surgery. I'm not sure if he had it this week, but our thoughts go out to Alex Smith, who is one of those great coaches that's lasted the test of time, both at the amateur level and the professional level. So good luck, Alex, in your recovery. And, of course, good luck to Steve Bryce and the University of Regina Rams, as they're on the road, too, taking on the Manitoba Bisons. Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatoon. And the Concord Group, thanks to them for coming on board. Also brought to you by Paul Waldo over there at Royal LePage, the home experts. And also by Wheel Estate. Check them out online at wheelestate.ca. Talk to you soon.